Number one for urban contemporary gospel on the net, Salt FM.
Tune in, turn it up, listen.
Spicing your world with the word.
This is Glory House, where the people of the Lord spreading his love so he can heal the land. If we stay together, loving each other as ourselves, then we will stand and we will overcome.
Before I go on this morning, I want to first and foremost honor Pastor. He's not here at the moment, but he's here in spirit. So I want to thank God for Pastor. I want to thank him for the privilege to share and to encourage today in the name of Jesus. I also want to appreciate our resident pastor, Dr. Timothy. Thank God for Dr. Timothy. I want to thank God for all the pastors in the house, our mothers and everybody. And I want to thank God for everybody in the house, because I'm standing here not because I'm better than anybody else. It just happens that it's me today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, going past that, as we know, today is Mother's Day. Amen. I want us to appreciate all the mothers in the house. Amen. Amen. We thank God for their sacrifices. We thank you for the extra mile they go. Thank you for those secret tears. We thank you for your nurturing and everything you do as mothers. We want to say thank you. Amen. Guess what, church, today it's a lecture. Christopher's always telling me, Mom, I don't need a lecture. I'm not pastor, so I'm going to lecture you. Amen. Okay, first and foremost, I'm going to start from here. As you know, I've written my notes down, and I read from my notes. Amen. So, today is Mother's Day. Now, we're celebrating Mother's Day, right? Amen? Amen. Now, there's something I noticed today while I was noticed over the weekend while I was preparing for Mother's Day, and I found out that Mothering Sunday is actually different from Mother's Day. How many of you knew that? Okay, I didn't. I thought it was the one and the same thing. Apparently, Mother's Day is a day when you... Actually, Mother's Day and Mothering Sunday, they fall on the same day. However, they're two different things. Mother's Day, when you're celebrating Mother's Day, what you're doing is you're celebrating our mothers. We're appreciating our mothers for all the things they've done for us and all that. However, Mothering Sunday is a bit different. I understand that it is a... Catholic Protestant holiday where all the mothers, it's a Christian holiday where you go back to your mothering church, right? And you celebrate in your mothering church. Your mothering church as in the church you grew up in or the church where you were baptized in, yeah? So that is actually what Mothering Sunday is. And Mother's Day, as I said, is when we are celebrating all our mothers. Amen? Okay, so... having given you that part of the lecture, as we go on, now, for the purpose of today, when I celebrate mothers, I'm talking about every birth mother, I'm talking about every biological mother, I'm talking about every stepmother, a mentor, spiritual mother, grand or great grandmother or great grandmothers, our godmothers, our teachers, our leaders, our aunties, and our sisters. Now, if you fall into any of those, I'm celebrating you as a mother. Amen? Amen. Even friends who have, in one way or the other, had to step into the role of a mother, I'm celebrating you today. Why am I celebrating you? I'm celebrating you because in one way or the other, you have nurtured somebody. You've made a sacrifice for somebody. You've cared for somebody. You've encouraged somebody. You've lifted somebody up. So you don't have to be related to a person to be able to operate as a mother to that person. Amen? So everybody that has nurtured, I'm talking about the women now, because it's Mother's Day. So men, please stay still on your seats. Amen? So today we're celebrating all women who have in one way or the other sacrifice. I don't care whether you have a child or you don't have a child. The fact that you have reached out, you have nurtured, I celebrate you as a mother. Amen? Amen. So the question today, I read in the dictionary, it says, I said to myself, so who are we talking about when we talk about a mother? I've already said it. So the dictionary says, the free dictionary says, a woman who gives birth to a child, that's one mother. It says, a woman who adopts a child, that's another mother. A woman who brings a child up, that's a mother. You understand? Or any person who has, who holds a position of responsibility, authority, similar to that of a mother, is a mother. Amen? So you don't even need to have been married to be a mother. We have our sisters who act as mothers for us sometimes, yeah? Our friends, anybody could be in that position. Amen? So any woman that has the ability or actually watches over, nourishes, and protects a child falls into the place and the role of a mother. As I said, you don't need to be related to that person blood-wise to be the mother. Amen? So what are the things that our mothers do? If you've been, as I said earlier, I'm repeating myself here. Sometimes it helps for emphasis. So if you have comforted a person, if you've loved a person, you've been kind to a person, you've nurtured a person, you've trained a person, you've disciplined where necessary, you protect us from harm, you've made sacrifices, you're a mother. Amen? Amen. Now, these are the general attributes of a mother. There are many more things that make up a mother, but generally that's what makes you to be a mother. Amen? Now, the question I wrote here is, now, why do we have to celebrate mothers? Now, if you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16. It says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. It's a command from God. That your days may be long and that it may be well with you. Amen? In the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. Amen. I also have here Ephesians chapter 6 verses 2-3. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. The promise is that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. In other words, it is the first commandment of God that has a promise of long life attached to it. So there are many commandments from God, but the first one that has a promise attached to it is the fact that we have to honor our father and mothers. Amen? So it is biblical it is scriptural to honor our parents, right? Amen? There are many ways by which we honor them, by celebrating them. So that's what we're going to do today. We're celebrating our mother. We have been doing that with the fun, wonderful things that the children, drama, outdoors. And I really love the last special number too, really. So we're going to sing. We're going to close with that song again. Sorry, choir. I liked it. Amen. It's Mother's Day, so I can take advantage. Amen. All right. Okay. That way you honor me. All right then. Okay. So what I said here is that why do we need to honor our parents? First and foremost, as I said, it's because it is scriptural. So when we honor our parents, we actually honor God. Because God has said we should honor our parents, that is his word. When we honor our parents, particularly our mothers, we honor God. Amen. Amen. Then another reason, which is also biblical, about the fact is that from a biblical point of view, when you honor and celebrate your parents, particularly our mothers today, you open up the doors of blessings. Amen. So every time you honor a person, you open up the door of blessings. Amen. Amen. Particularly today, we're honoring our mothers, right? Now, the Bible, then I also found out here is that life is about sowing and reaping. So what you sow is what you get. So if you honor people, you get that honor back. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. It is impossible for God to lie. As he said that what you sow is what you reap. That is what you will happen. So make a conscious effort. Make a conscious effort to honor people. not because necessarily because of what you're going to get, but because that is the right thing to do. And that is what is scriptural. Now, also, I said here, we honor and celebrate our mothers because they deserve it. Now, I know that will raise some people's alarm bells. Well, my mom doesn't deserve it. She neglected me. She wasn't there for me. Yes, I get that. But you know what? That's pastor's phrase, isn't it? I get that. Okay, so I tried to make you feel like pastor is here a bit. I get that. All right. Yes. But the point about it is that even if all your mother did was brought you into the world, she deserved to be honored. Amen? Yes, yes, yes. You know, it's not easy. I know pastors always saying it's not easy to be a man. But you know what? It's not easy to be a lady either. Amen? Yes, it's not easy to be a lady. It takes the grace of God to be a lady. So I'm not knocking it, but it is true. It's not easy to be a woman either. Amen? Because, you know, well, I guess it works both ways. So let me leave it at that for now. Okay. Okay, so where was I now? Yeah, so I said, we honor our mothers, even if you don't feel they deserve it, because the fact that a mother gave birth to you, that's enough a reason to honor them, yeah? You understand? The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. He didn't say only honor her if she's been good to you. He didn't say only honor her if she has given you everything. You know, it doesn't always work like that. I'm not justifying if a mother neglected a child, but I have learned in life, never say never. Now, what I know some of you will say, I would never neglect my child. Yes, okay, thank God for you. But the reality of it is that sometimes you need to be in the situation of the mother to understand what brought about that. It may not justify it. You know, we are levels of sacrifice. We're in different levels. Some are able to sacrifice much more than others, and some just couldn't do it. So the fact that they're your mother, I'd like to say, still honor them, even if it is the case that all she was able to do was give birth to you. Amen? Right, amen. Okay, so get that mindset that she doesn't deserve it. You know, we are all what we are only by the grace of God. Amen. So your mother is there by the grace of God. That okay, so maybe you are not gonna neglect your child or that sort of thing. It is only by the grace of God. You understand? It's not that it's, you know, the Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. There's anything anybody can do if not for the grace of God. Amen. Amen. All right. So that is enough reason for you to honor your mothers. Amen. My next question is this. So how can you honor your mother? Now, this is a big question because it differs from person to person. You know, it depends on what that person in question regards as honor. For some people, it could be just the fact that you can say hello. Sometimes my mom says, I'm the only child of my mom. So sometimes she'll say, boss, boss, because that's what she calls me. She say, boss, boss. I say, yes, mommy. She said, I just wanted to hear your voice. I said, oh, thank you, mommy. I'm fine, you know, because that for her works. So what I'm saying now, some people, it's just the call. Just give your mom a call and say, hi, mom, how are you? Do you understand? Some it's a visit. I used to remember my late mother-in-law. She would tell ATT, she say, it's okumbo. I'm not only money I want you to come and visit me. So you understand, sometimes it's just a visit. It's not so much, it's just the fact that you appreciate your mother in any way. Some people, and you know what, there are some people, their mothers want them to give them money. I'm not asking you to rob a bank, you know, I'm not asking you to do that, but even if you can, you know, out of love, mom, this is what I have for you, you know, take it. That's a way of honoring. So whatever way in which you find out a person would like to be honored, honor them, because no two people are the same, you know. So that's the way it goes, yeah? Now, and then I would also say that a good mother would only expect you to do what you are able to do, not, for instance, to land you in debt, as we said, in terms of the money thing, you know, because she wants you to do something that will make her happy. Now, but having said that, I wrote here that I know that there's one thing that every mother would like, and that is that to be respected. So respect your mother. Try, make an effort to respect your mother. Go beyond the fact that she did this. Excuse me, she did this for you or she did that for you, irrespective of what has happened. As we had learned earlier, you still have to honor your mothers, yeah? Make it an effort to appreciate them, to respect them, to pray for them. Don't neglect them. And as often as you can, compliment them and remember to say thank you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, having said that, mothers, I have... one or two things to say to you too. Right, mothers, one of the things I said here, tips to a mother. I said, mother, don't compare yourselves. You understand? I have 2 to the glory of God, and maybe you have 10. My abilities, you know, they're different from yours, you understand? But God knows that you're the one that could be the mother of those 10, and that's why he has made you the mother of those 10, and me too, you understand? Don't, because you see that mother, you know, our abilities, I said back to square one, our abilities are different. Some, you know, they're the perfect mom, they take all their kids there, they do this, they do that, you understand? Okay, she's not, I wouldn't say she's better than you. I would just say she's different. We have different, there's nobody, nobody is better than anybody in terms of that. Okay, as a mother, you can always improve on what you do. You can see something that is good about another mother and think, okay, I can take that on. But don't ever compare yourself with another mother and think, don't see another mother and think, gosh, she is it, I am nothing. Because that's not what God says. The thoughts that God has towards you, they're good. He has good thoughts towards you because you're engraved in the palm of his hand. So rest assured, mothers, what you know how to do, you do it. Nobody can be the mother of your child like you. You understand? So please understand that. Don't compare. Your compositions are different, okay? So it isn't always. I know they sometimes say that when you're not on the other side, it always looks like it's greener on the other side. But it's not always the case. You need to really be in their place. You know, and sometimes because one person is able to sacrifice one thing more than the other, it makes it think like, oh, well, everything is sweet. It's just because they've learned to let things go and move on. If you jumped into their side and you say, whoa, I think I better stay back where I am, because you know, you'll be surprised at what people are going through and what people, you know, should I say, endure. So don't, just where you are, give thanks to God for what you are and receive grace to operate in the role of the mother that you have been called to. Yes, amen. So I also found out here that every mother has a strength and every mother has a weakness, you understand? So don't be discouraged if you think it's working for this person, it's not working for you. There are things that are working for you that are not working for that person, you understand? So you see a person, appreciate, but don't cower in because you think, you know, they're the perfect mom and you're not. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised, okay? As I said, that as a mother, even if you see and think that there are things you could do to improve, then please go ahead and do them. Take on things that are, you know, we're forever learning. None of us have arrived as mothers, you know. None of us are perfect yet. None of us are perfect. The Bible says we should be perfect because for our God in heaven is perfect. So we aim for perfection, but we're not there yet. It's a continuous, as your Christian walk is a continuous thing. So you're aiming for perfection is a continuous thing. Amen. So as the Bible says, there's now no condemnation for them that are in Christ. You don't live in condemnation, you know. Do what you know how to do. Do that and be good at what you know how to do. You understand? And excel in that area, yeah? So as a mother, all you need to just continue to do is to nurture and to love and to be kind, to be comforting, give directions to protect your children in your own way. The way I protect Christopher and Tiana, you might think, and I said, who does that? How on earth could a mother do that? But it works for me and it's working for my family. Now I may see you working, you know, protecting your children, you know, do what you know how to do with God's wisdom, and don't live in condemnation or think you need to be a judge of this mother or that mother because you see them doing this or you're doing that. You know, every man for himself. God for us all. Now that's not in the Bible, that's me. Okay, that just came from my then. Okay, so there you go. I'm sorry. So as a mother, your place is, as I said, is to love, to nurture, and to discipline where necessary, to make sacrifice, and to train your children. It's an inherent thing in mothers. We just sacrifice anyway. That's God given. It's already been placed in, so we are able to. And even though sometimes it's not easy, that doesn't mean we can't do it. It's not easy. It doesn't mean you can't do it. You can, because the Bible says you can do all things through Christ Jesus. He's the one that strengthens you. So because of the strength of Christ that is in you, you are able to do it. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. The other thing I wanted to say is change your mindset. Stop thinking in your heart that you have failed, because you haven't failed. Who said you failed? On what criteria? What are you using what's your criteria? How are you determining that you failed? Well, because you've not been able to do exactly what that mother said. Doesn't mean you failed. You are beautiful where you are. You are a great mother where you are. You are a good mother. You can always improve on what you do, but don't ever get that mindset that you have failed, because you haven't failed. Amen. You have not failed. Amen. You have not failed. That's not what God says about you. So you have to think about what God says about you. I mean, he never called you a failure. So don't call your name. Don't stop calling yourself names, okay? God hasn't called you a failure, so don't call yourself a failure. Amen? So having said that, I wanted to say this. This is a bit, because I'm not a storyteller. I'm not a storyteller. So I just go straight to the point. I'm very black and white about my story, so I'm not a storyteller. But I remember this day, and this is based on criteria. The reason why I wanted to say this is I bet many of you have actually seen it yourselves. This lady, because this is the, you know the, okay, I'm not, should I? Okay, you know the night, there's an African criteria and mentality for deciding how successful you are, right? For a lot of Africans, you see, I'm not a storyteller like Pastor Shegun. I don't tell stories. I'm just the way it is. So here we go. So this lady, I'm sure you've read it, but it was so funny to me, but it's very much typical of a lot of things we do. We use the wrong criteria for deciding whether we have failed or we are successful. This lady, she's a Nigerian, I understand, but she grew up in a Nigerian family. Now, in Africa, I know times have changed, but in the past, there was this tendency that if you're either have to be a lawyer, you either have to be a doctor, and then she said an engineer, if I'm right. Yes, okay, she said an engineer. I said the fourth one, she said, it disgraced to the family. So any other career or any other thing you fall into, apart from this, so if you don't fall into the first three, the fourth character you fall into is a disgrace to the family. Now she said, well, okay, when she was growing up, you know, her mother had already planned out her career on what she was going to be or what she wasn't going to be. So I think for her, her mom had planned that she would be a doctor. Anyway, she didn't quite do the doctor thing. She ended up becoming an engineer. So she said, her mother said, oh, okay, your brother will be the doctor. But she said, when she was, when her mom was pregnant, that anytime they asked her, so what are you having? Most people say, oh, I'm having a girl. She said, I'm having a doctor. You know, that sort of thing. See, because that's the way, you know, our mentality is. But that's not, what I'm trying to say is that the only criteria I think you should use to determine whether you succeeded or failed is by what God says about you. Yeah, don't listen to what people say if it's not going to lift you up. Now, when I say don't listen to what people say, there are things that people say that will help you. You understand? So you have to strike the balance. But anything that will pull you down, anything that will not give you, inspire you that, okay, you know, sometimes you can make a mistake and they correct you and it inspires you to move forward. But if by the time they finish speaking to you, you feel like going under the table, it's not worth listening to, all right? Amen. Because, you know, even God our Father, when we miss things, he doesn't condemn us. You get a conviction in your spirit, but that conviction is for you to turn around and to make things better. So if God who created you doesn't do that, it doesn't matter what people say. As long as, if it doesn't help you, please discard it. Amen. So anyway, final. She said in the end, her mother, in the end, she didn't, she ended up being an engineer, if I remember right. And after what she realized is this, and she said she'd been an engineer for about 20 years, but the thing was not really working for her because she was more into comedy. So she went in, so when she told her mother she was going to, she said, disgrace to the family. But anyway, she said she still went on and did it. She got into being a comedian, into the comedy thing that she wanted to do. And in the end, She became very successful with it. That's just the nutshell of the whole. So what I'm trying to say is that criteria, don't use other people's criteria, use the God criteria. Because everybody, what everybody says most of the time is just an opinion. It's not necessarily the truth, all right? Amen. Amen. So having said that, mothers, you do what you do very well. I ask you to continue doing it. Children, I wanted to say this. The Bible says that children need to be trained, right? And that's why we have that popular verse, Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it is our job, it is our duty to train up our children. So let's not just get discouraged. Even if we get a back this thing, let's keep on, be persistent about it through prayer, and you get to where you need to be. Amen. So I learned also, because I learned a lot about what Proverbs says. In many of the verses, Proverbs would say, fathers instruct, mothers teach. You understand? So fathers, their role is to instruct. We, the mothers, we have to teach our children. Amen? So you say, it says, for instance, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8, it says, hear my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teachings, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. See, you can also look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, right? But then Proverbs 10:1 says that a wise son makes a glad father, but the foolish son is the grief of his mother. So, you know, in other words, the foolishness, it appears like the mother gets the blame for the foolishness. So mothers, we have to get on with it, amen, irrespective of what it may be. So fathers are mainly to instruct, amen, and mothers, you are to teach, amen. Now, I haven't finished, but I will try not to do what pastor does, amen. Okay, having said that, our theme, so mothers, once again, I celebrate you in your role, and I say keep up the good work, keep going, because his grace is sufficient for you, amen. Now, having said that, I've written here that it is God's will for everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. It is God's will for you to excel and also to win, right? When God created you, he created you with the ability to excel and to win, right? To excel means to be exceptionally good or proficient in an ability, in an activity, or to shine. Amen. So you need to be very good, to be excellent. That's what God expects of you, because when he created you, he created you with that in mind, that you will excel. Amen. He created you to be brilliant. He created you to be outstanding. He created you to be skillful, to be talented, to be an expert, and to stand out. He created you to be the best. That is what God has created us to be. He created you to be head and shoulders above your contemporaries, right? And also to be a cut above the best. That's what God has created you and me to be. Now, to win, for this purpose, when I say to win, I'm not talking about pool. I'm not talking about wins like that. No, I'm talking about win in terms of being triumphant and being victorious. That is what God has said for every man in this room and every woman in this room, for every boy in this room, for every girl in this room. It is God's will for you not only to excel, but to win at your excel. Because you could be good at what you're doing, but not be winning. So God is expecting that both go hand in hand. As you excel, you're also supposed to win. All right? So, having said that, I put the whole thing together as a sentence, and I said, God created you to shine, to be very good at what you do, and to obtain victory. Amen? That is God's will for you. Now, Revelations 4:11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things by your will. You and I exist only by the will of God. Amen. right? They all, by your will, they exist, and we were created. So when you excel and win in what you do, you bring God glory. Amen? You bring God pleasure, and again, you bring happiness to God. And when God is happy, you bring happiness to yourself. Amen? Because when you're in line with God's will, you're happy. Talking about happiness again, when you're in line with God's will, you are happy. Since it is God's will for you to win and to excel, when that happens, you are happy. Now, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 14, Minister Salem had read it, but I'll read it again. It says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil," right? To give you a future and a hope. Verse 12 says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you," amen, "and you will seek me," verse 13, "and find me when you search for me with all your heart," amen, amen. So when we seek God with all our heart, we will find him. Then verse 14 says, "I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I have caused you to be carried away," amen. Amen. Now, I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to change our mindset. Don't let the devil keep telling you that you won't win or that you can't excel, because you will. That is God's will for you, and that is his promise for you. So I say, change your mindset. Stop the "I can't," or "it's always me," "it's not working for me," because those are not God's thoughts towards you. Amen. At this point in time, we need to do what Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 says. It says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." So you need to arise as a mother, you need to arise as a man, you need to arise and take your place, because it is only when you arise that you can excel and win. But you have to be determined to get up from where you are. It doesn't matter how many times what you have done has failed. Go again. Amen. Go again. Keep going until you get what you know God has promised you. Don't be discouraged about the fact that you have applied for that job 1,001 times and it still hasn't happened. All right? You need to keep holding on. Don't be discouraged about the fact that you're dealing with a health situation and it just seems like it's not moving. You know what? You have to keep on holding on. You mustn't be discouraged, because the God that promised you, he cannot lie. It is just impossible. It doesn't exist. A lie doesn't exist. If it were God and it appears like it's a lie, trust me, it's the truth. All right? God could never tell a lie. All right? Now, many times, because of what we go through, are going through, we get blinded to the fact that there is hope. Things will get better. You have to see through faith. You have to see through your faith eyes, because the Bible says, "Without faith, it is impossible to believe to please God." The Bible says that all that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. So, what have you trusted God for? Please, I would like to encourage you to please keep trusting. Do everything you know to do, and when you have done that, the Bible says, "Having done all, stand." All right. So one of the things I know we need to do, because our Christian walk is based on faith. Our Christian walk is based on faith, right? So what I would say, I always tell people, I say, empower your faith. You need to empower your faith. You know, some of us, I always say that, and I'm going to say it again. Some of us, our faith is made of paper. Some of us, our faith is made of plastic. Some of us, our faith is made of wood. And some of us, our faith is made of glass. Now, if your faith is made of glass, if the devil throws a stone at your faith, it'll shatter. You know that. So you have to empower your faith. Now, some of us, our faith that is made of plastic, if it goes through the fire, if the paper goes through the fire or wood goes through it, it'll burn. You understand? Now, okay, if your faith is made of plastic, if you're going through water, it will float, right? But guess what? It's not only water you're going to go through. You're going to go through fire. It happens. I'm not trying to scare you. But what I'm trying to say, that even though we go through all these things, your faith has to be strong, because that's what will keep you through. Amen. My time up.
Okay. Okay. Amen. So, okay. All right. So what I'm saying here is that, ladies and gentlemen, please empower your faith. Your faith will help you. The Bible says that it's by faith you obtain a good result. So your faith is what will help you to get through. Your faith and works. So I'm not saying faith, 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 and no works. You need to work with your faith. So you've trusted God for this great thing. But what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, you have the faith on this side and the leg. You know, you actually have two legs. They walk together. So if I have only one, if I only have faith, I'll be walking like this. That's the way you walk. But if you have your faith and you have your works, you walk together. You understand? So in your Christian walk, your faith must be there, but there must almost be works. All right? So by that, you will obtain a good result. Amen. So I don't know what it is, you know, whatever it is in store, you are trusting God for, whether it's a financial thing, health, if it's a marriage, relationship, I don't know what it is, whatever you're trusting God for, faith and works, be patient and wait and see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. So what I also want to say to you is that as you're trusting God, Romans chapter 8 verse 31 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. In other words, no matter the opposition or temporary setback, as long as we aim to excel and win through him, we have surety of victory. It is a simple matter of time. Amen. So let your mindset be that you are a conqueror, because it will empower you and motivate you to keep on going till you see the manifestation. Amen. Amen. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So there's nothing, there's no exception. All means everything, and everything means everything. All means no exception. Your name, you name it, and with Christ being the one who strengthens you, you have it. Amen. So whether it is a baby through Christ Jesus, you have it. A good job through Christ Jesus, you can have it. A lovely home, marriage, lovely children, a thriving ministry or business. I don't know what you want, God, what you want, but you can have it through Christ Jesus, the one that strengthens you. Stop trying to work everything on your own. You know what I find, and that includes me, it happens to me. So God regularly reminds me. He reminds me that sometimes you try to do things, you flex two muscles on things which you should be calling me to, you should invite me to help you with. So I want to say the same thing to you, ladies and gentlemen. Invite God, ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. Stop trying to do things on your own, because the Bible says everything is possible if you have the strength of the one that strengthens you, Christ, in Christ Jesus. Amen. So that is where we are now. Even in your Christian walk, don't walk this Christian walk on your own. You're not the one that called yourself. You understand? So receive grace, receive empowerment from the one that has called you, the one that started this Christian walk. You understand? He says his grace is sufficient for you. So, you know, don't frustrate the grace. Make use of this grace of God and run this race, and come and let us run until we get to eternity. Amen. 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 And so I also wrote here, it says, so you can win and excel, but do it God's way. Now Proverbs 10:29a says, the way of the Lord is strength for the upright. So if you do it God's way, you have the strength to do it. Amen. Amen. Finally, since it is God's will for you to excel and win, as mothers and fathers, men, women, boys and girls, remember Jeremiah 29 verses 12 and 13. Again, he says, if you call on him, so call on God and say, Lord, help me. Remember, he said, if you call on him, you will be found. You will find him. You understand? And he will make himself available to you. So I wrote here that you should on your road to excel and win, incorporate the art of verses 12 and 13. That is verses 12 and 13 of Jeremiah chapter 29. Okay. I also said discipline is very helpful skill to excel and win. So get rid of the lack of discipline, which might be your only obstacle. Also, diligence. Remember Proverbs 22:29. It says, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. So keep those along, you know, let that be the baggage you take along with you as you walk on your road to excel and to win. Then acquire skill and knowledge. Hosea 4:6a says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So sometimes what is holding you back is just the lack of knowledge or skill. So, you know, make it a point of duty to obtain skill and to obtain knowledge. Amen. Then I said, be persistent. Don't give up. You've tried the first time. You've tried 10 times and it still hasn't happened. Don't give up. Please be encouraged to go on. One day I was listening to T.D. Jakes and he said something that these days that the things that Christians call persecution, he said Jesus himself will cringe in embarrassment if he finds out, you know, you've tried the first time. Don't give up. It doesn't matter how many times you go. Keep going, because as long as there's life, there's hope. So you have to keep on. Keep on till you get there. You understand? Amen. Okay, so I also wrote here that in your journey to win and excel, you also need patience, right? Let patience have its uppermost part in your life. Because a lot of us, one of the reasons why we don't quite get there is because of our impatience. You understand? Just when God is about to make it happen, you've already given up. Please don't give up. Be patient, all right? And then I also said, find a mentor. So if you are trusting God in a particular area, so find someone who has been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, probably still buying more t-shirts, but, you know, has already been successful in that part of what you're doing. But also, I wrote here, so I said, for instance, if you want to learn on excellence, for instance, why not go to your mentor, Daniel? The Bible says he was a man with an excellent spirit. Because sometimes people mentors are good, but you also have the word of God. You have character mentors in the Bible. Use them as well. I said, oh, for instance, if you want to be like Jesus himself, then learn the things. Okay, we have him in here, but, you know, we can grow. Study that way. That way you have your mentoring, all right? So with that, I am about coming to my conclusion. Okay. Now, having done that, I said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 to 58, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 8 says, therefore, my loved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, having done that, ladies and gentlemen, you are born to excel and to win. I want you to make that declaration that I am born to excel and to win. I am born to excel and to win in all areas. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord.
To order this message and other products, visit our website at www.gloryhouse.org.uk.
We bring you music and the word. And more music.
It's a good mix.
Salt FM.
It's good. I listen to it
all day, every day.
Every day.
Day.
Every day.
Entertainment that inspires.